I love how creativity can inspire other creativity. So I was talking to a friend of mine. I am a ghostwriter, so I do write a fair amount. And we're talking about how much I write per week, which is for clients, which is about maybe about 40,000 words. So we're talking about how that was literally a book a week. And he said, well, you're a very talented writer. Why are you doing this for other people? Why not do it for yourself? You're published. You know how the system works. You've been on both ends of the publishing scene. Why not write some books for yourself again?
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of my good buddy, Mr. Eminem, Mr. Mickey Mickelson, y'all, that's right indeed, from the great land of Canada, that's right indeed. And the beautiful thing about it is we got another wonderful guest today who's also from the great land of Canada, or should I say a dual citizen. That's right, folks, she loves the best of both worlds, y'all. She loves America and she loves Canada, y'all. That's right indeed. So she's like, yep, dual citizenship swag, y'all. I'm going to be D.C. myself. And ain't just Washington. I'm going to be a D.C. dual citizen myself, y'all. Because today's wonderful guest, y'all. Today's wonderful, fabulous guest. She is an award-winning author, y'all. You heard that right, folks. An award-winning author. So all the blue ribbons are on today's guest, y'all. She's decorated, y'all. She's also a poet who knows it, an editor, a ghostwriter, and a mom of three. So let's give it up for Miss AM in the AM, since it's morning when we're recording, is the one, the only Allison McBain. How you doing today, Allison?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on, and it's great to be here.
Woohoo, it's great having you here too. It's right, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, as you know, with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 73.5 days long, and I probably only covered, I don't know, 73.5 seconds of what makes Allison the amazing Allison herself. So am I filling in any cavities and how you became the Allison that you are today?
Well, I started out writing when I was really, really young, four to be exact. I wrote my first story. And I had a lot of compliments from my friends and family at the time. So it encouraged me to keep going. And I've had a lot of authors and teachers help me along the way. But I didn't start writing for publication really until I hit my 30s after two of those kids you talked about. And I was at home and decided, you know what? I have a few stories to tell. And there weren't a lot of adults to talk to. There were a lot of kids to talk to. And so I started writing things down and it sort of snowballed from there. I became an editor. I have now four books published and soon, hopefully, to be many more.
Oh, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. Many more indeed. Many four starting from the age of four. That's right indeed. She's like, ooh, I know more than just the word the. I'm gonna go ahead and write more, y'all. So indeed. Yeah. She was writing in the womb this whole time.
Not quite that young.
Yeah. So some say ball is life, but in this case, pen is life. That's right. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. All the puns intended and unintended indeed.
I always say if you say a pun, if you recognize it afterwards, it was intended, at least with part of you.
That's good. That's right. I knew you were my kind of people. It's rated
Mm-hmm.
D. It's rated D. And fun fact about you, it's like actually like you have an eclectic array of like interests. It's freaking crazy. Because if I'm not mistaken, you got a Bachelor's of Arts in African Studies, right?
African history, yeah, and also classical literature.
Yeah, so what inspired those two?
Well, like most things in life, I had a really fabulous professor in college, a really fabulous teacher. I knew I wanted to do history, but I wasn't sure, what specifically I wanted to study. And he just inspired me. He brought history to life for me. And so he was a professor of African history at UC Santa Cruz. And when I said, you know what, I want to do a thesis, I want to write about, a particular time period, he was like, go for it, So I felt like very nurtured under his guidance. And it just snowballed from there. And similarly for classical literature, I knew I wanted to be a writer eventually. So I was like, okay, well, studying classics, I gotta see what came before. So those two seem to go hand in hand pretty well.
Oh, there you go. Hand in hand, pretty well. It's writing T's, writing T. So, hey, so there's the backstory behind it. 'Cause I'm like, man, that's freaking random. Classical literature and African history. All right. But writing is a game, and she knows it. That's the name of the game, indeed. So, my goodness, and thing is, writing's basically your whole life these days as a freelance editor on top of everything else that you do. So my goodness, what would you consider your biggest lesson learned about yourself thus far from all your writing?
That there's inspiration everywhere. So I'm actually one of those terrible writers who has never had writer's block. So everyone could hate me, but I feel like the more I write, the more I'm inspired. So I'll be walking down the street, I'll see someone walking their dog, and it'll just m make me start thinking, oh, who is this person? What can I tell their story? What happened before this? So just anything at any part of the day to me inspires creativity.
Oh, all right, cool. All right. So she sees a seashell by the seashore when there's no shore, inspiration will happen.
Yeah, well, I live in a landlocked province, so yes, I have to imagine the ocean these days.
That's right. The land's like, we got you locked down, buddy. That's
Yeah.
right. No shores for you. That's right.
No.
Indeed. I'm gonna take these prairies and like it.
Exactly. Not unless there's a really big tsunami, then, but other than that, we're probably not getting any ocean water here.
Yeah, let's hope that don't happen. We don't,
Yeah.
nobody needs that. Let's not have that.
Exactly.
Oh man. So my goodness, so you decided to take on this big, huge project of human versus freaking AI, a book a week for all of 2024. So what inspired all this? Because this is interesting to me.
Well, yeah, so author versus AI sort of started from a conversation. I love how creativity can inspire other creativity. So I was talking to a friend of mine. I am a ghostwriter, so I do write a fair amount. And we're talking about how much I write per week, which is for clients, which is about maybe about 40,000 words. So we're talking about how that was literally a book a week. And he said, well, you're a very talented writer. Why are you doing this for other people? Why not do it for yourself? You're published. You know how the system works. So you've been on both ends of the publishing scene. Why not write some books for yourself again? And at the same time, we had been talking about how AI was on everyone's mind, especially writers, creatives, actors, and about how it's sort of the big bad right now. And a lot of people are understandably worried about it taking over their jobs or cutting out the small guy in this whole creative scene. So it sort of came together. My friend gave me the tagline, author versus AI. And just this ambitious project to hopefully inspire other writers who are looking at AI and thinking, well, why will I ever become a writer? I can just type in the computer and they'll produce a book for me. So most of what writers do is out of love of it. We love creating. We love telling stories. So to cut that out of the human experience, I think is sort of sad. So I really wanted to do a project that would call attention to like, yeah, hey, I am the little guy, and I can do this project that shows that a writer can write almost as fast as AI, but hopefully much, much better.
There we go. Much better and not butter. It how's your progress been? We're in the month of May at the time of this recording. It's like, shoot. How's that working out?
So far, so good. So it's week three so far, and the first week I did a YA horror, which was a lot of fun. It had to do with tattoo artists and hauntings and loss. So it brought together a whole bunch of elements that worked well together for YA horror. And last week, I did the first of a two-book project, which was Fantasy Caper. So basically, a whole bunch of, creatures from mythology band together, sort of Ocean's 11 style, and they go off on adventures. And this week, I'm doing book two of that series. It's only a two-book series. So I get to live with these characters for a little bit longer and really get them, going off on some really crazy capers and wacky adventures.
Oh, all right, some wacky adventures indeed, as I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, so is it just you typing the whole day, or do you use like voice, like activated like translators to help you out with the writing?
I'm not good at that voice to text. I think I'm a very visual person, so I like to see the words as I'm going. So I think it would be sort of hard for me to do the voice to text. It's typing. I do take breaks. It's not just me butt in the chair at 8 a.m. and I don't get up until midnight. No, I do get up and walk around and take a break and feed my cat and but yeah, so it is a long day. It's a work day, and I put in a lot of hours each day.
Oh, okay. So what's your personal best word count so far?
I've only done this once. I came close to 20,000 words. Normally, if I'm really pushing it, I can do 15,000 words, but my comfort zone is about 10 to 12.
Well, she's a beast. That's right, Dave.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
if it's flowing, right? Like there's a difference between when you're sort of struggling to put words on the page and when you're just like, okay, this story is writing itself. So that was my almost 20,000 word day where I was just like, wow, I don't even have to think about it. The words are just coming out of me. But that's rare.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We haven't had a prolific writer of your freaking level since freaking Cat Hudson, freaking a few hundred episodes ago. Another one of Mickey's Clods from a past time, too, probably for a couple of years ago, freaking herself. She's a ghost writer herself and can tackle a whole bunch of genres. It's like, yeah. It's like, yeah, 10,000 words a day. That seems like a load of hooey. And then she actually reaches it. On a regular, she's like, oh, they weren't lying. All right, the ghost writers know what the heck they're talking about here. And here we are. We got someone who's reached to almost 20,000 words indeed. So, my goodness, so how do you make time for family and everything else?
Well, my family are very supportive of this, and actually, all my kids are very creative. It's funny that you mentioned word count because I was talking to one of my daughters about, because she writes, and she's actually a published author herself. She has a poem published in a kids magazine, which happened when she was 9, and I can't be a prouder mama. But she was doing an assignment in class where they were supposed to write a story, and she's like, Yeah, I did like almost 900 words in like an hour. I'm like, keep on going, sweetie. You're doing great, you know? So I think it runs in the family. But they're all very creative. They love when we do artistic projects together. And they're very supportive of this. And they also know it's temporary. So I'm like, okay, mom's going away to write, but I'll see you tonight. We're gonna sit down for dinner together.
Okay, good. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Yeah, Allie's like, yeah, that's my girl. Chip off the old block. That's right. That's right indeed. These jeans are gonna keep going, dang gummit. That's right. That's right indeed. Soon she'll do 9,000 words in 9 minutes. That's right. That's right indeed.
That would be very impressive.
Heck yeah, indeed. Sure. Imagine the speed of the fangus just typing, especially if it's all accurate too. Like, oh gosh, freaking machine. Take that AI. Oh, man. My goodness, my goodness. So how many genres you got planned out? Because it sounds like you had a plan for this whole 52-week project here.
Yep, so it's over 30, and those are genres and also subgenres. So, for example, like, under science fiction, I have stuff like time travel as one, superhero as one, but they're all under the bigger umbrella of science fiction. But yes, I had to plan everything ahead of time, so I don't just sit down and write whatever comes into my head. I have outlines, I have character sketches. Even sometimes I'll pull photos off the internet and have them in my file to look at when I'm trying to describe something. So I do all the preparation in advance. So yes, I can just sit down at the beginning of the week and start writing.
All right. So it's not a random day where you're just like, yep, I'm gonna write a 40,000-word novel about a penguin eating a cookie.
No, although I might have to put a penguin eating a cookie into one of my books as a nod to that, because that's pretty funny.
That's right indeed. Like the world's dying and there's just this random penguin just standing there eating a cookie. It's a chocolate chip cookie. It's feeling chipper for some reason. Let's see his dog over here. Hey, penguin, help us humans out. I know we're mean to you and to your oceans and all, but come on. Ah, the
I'm so putting a penguin eating a cookie in. You've heard it
alien
here.
slurp
I'll let you know which book it is in.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. And my goodness, so how are you, man? So, writing for the AI project and then writing by day. So, like, dude, how's that even all freaking work? Because I'm sure you got clients too, right?
I do have some clients. So I do juggle between what I'm working on. And if you look at my word counts, I'm posting my word counts every day on my website. You'll see that I'm nowhere near my limit most days. So I might write, for example, 5,000 words for a client and then 5,000 words for myself. So I'm not doing 100%. I do like switching though. I do like having that variety. Another reason why I'm doing lots of different genres for my project, because I think I would get bored if I was just stuck in one genre. Because, well, I believe if you're in one genre, there are unlimited number of stories to tell. I'm not like that. I like to jump around. I like to say, you know what? I feel like horror this week. I'm gonna go out and murder some people in my book. And then next week, oh, you know what? I feel like some laughs. I'm going to write a comedy. So I don't like to be stuck in any one type of genre, you know.
That's right indeed. That's right. She's a tree with skates, y'all. That's right indeed. She's like, yep, these roots aren't gonna be in the ground for y'all. That's right indeed. Putting these skates on, this tree's gonna travel to different forests. That's right, metaphorically. That's right indeed.
Yes, a walking tree.
Heck yeah, it's a long striding walking tree too.
Well, I like to joke. So my sister is a world traveler. She's been to probably 100 countries. And this is her thing that she loves to do. I like to say, you know what? I stick in one place. I tend not to go around that much, but I travel my imagination. So, like, I can go anywhere, you know, like, and the plane ticket is very cheap. So, I save a lot of money just staying here and writing books.
Heck yeah, indeed. Who knows? So, would the plane ticket be coffee on occasion?
Well, actually, I don't drink coffee anymore. The acid sort of puts me off, so I do drink tea now, but non-caffeinated tea, if that sounds crazy. So I am caffeine-free for the most part. My one exception is my secret weapon, chocolate. So I always have like a big bar of chocolate next to my desk. There's one right now. And so it's sort of like a reward system, like, hey, I just hit 5,000 words, I get a piece of chocolate. So some of the stereotypes are true about certain writers, including myself. Chocolate is my reward that keeps me going.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's right indeed. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There you go. So you're your own caffeine. There you go. That's right indeed. She just wakes up and the brain is just on. That's right indeed. That's what I'm
More or
talking
less.
about.
It takes some time. I
Okay, maybe not yet. All right.
I
Let's
do need a
do.
little bit of waking up time before I start writing.
Oh, all right. Okay. What I was about to say. All right. It's just her pressing a button and it's just automatically on, like, woohoo, I'm awake. Let's take on the world, kiddos.
No, then I would be AI.
Well, you already got the A. It's just not the I, right? Let me stop. That's right indeed. It's for Allison intelligence, y'all. Don't you mean artificial? No, this is Allison intelligence. It's better. It's the human element. That's right indeed.
Like that, Allison Intelligence. I might use that.
So my goodness, my goodness. So do you think you might eventually polish some of these books down the road and publish them?
Yes, actually. So I do have several publishers who are interested in some of them. And on top of that, I do want this to sort of be a completely AI-free zone when they do get published. So one thing that I have done is I've talked to a lot of local artists in my area, some really wonderful artists, and I'm planning on hiring them to do the book covers so that, again, not using any sort of AI for the artwork. I want to have it personal. I want to have it from artists, hopefully, that I know, that I've met, to do the artwork for the covers. I think that would be fantastic.
There you go. Was there indeed plot twist? The artists use AI. Let me stop. No, they don't. Real artists hate the heck out of AI. They're like, "Oh God, get this trash out of here. There's no soul in this thing."
Very true. I mean, a lot of AI art tends to end up looking very similar. It might have some visually stunning effects, but just like AI writing, there's something inhuman about it, I think. And maybe that will change. I don't know. But again, artists are like writers. They create because they love to create. And they'd probably keep on doing it even if, they didn't sell a single painting or artwork. Like if I never sold a single book, I would still be writing, I think. So I think there's that element that is missing from AI. It's the love.
Yeah, there you go. That's right indeed. So it sounds like that R&B song Computer Love has to happen for the AI to go to the next level. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So if a couple of computers find two microchips and put them together, we might be in for
Well, there are science fiction stories about that, for sure. About robots falling in love.
They're like, these humans do something called love. It takes them to crazy levels of creativity. They sometimes lose a sense of common sense. Should we try this as machines? Yay, we did it. We did this thing called love. Now we really take over the humans. Let me stop.
Well, actually, my next book is actually along sort of those lines. So next week I'm going to be tackling a science fiction book, and there is some AI in it, a robot, and they do love a human. So what we're talking about will come to life next week.
All right, there we go. That's right indeed. So instead of bestiality, it's techno sexuality, and we got a penguin eating a cookie. This is good. All right.
Well, it's more platonic love than anything else. So, more like a mentorship.
Okay, cool. All right, so it's the human that hates other humans, training the technology to hate other humans. There we go. Good. Indeed. So almost like Dr. Eggman. Let me stop. This is pretty interesting indeed. All right, cool. She's got some things cooking in that brain. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, so since you've been doing all this wonderful work indeed, and you're starting to get on more podcasts promoting your work, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
That's a good one. I don't know. Oh, how about my last book? Because I talk a lot about the books to come, but as you mentioned, I'm an award-winning author, and my last book I'm very proud of to have put out in the world. It's called The New Empire, and it's an alternate history book, and I did write it in about 2 months. But it did take a lot of research in the editing stage, so the editing took much longer than the writing process, as is usually the case. But it's set in the 1700s in California, and basically it talks about the premise on if Chinese ships had come over a few hundred years beforehand and established permanent trading colonies with the indigenous populations then, and how it could have changed history if the tribal populations had banded together in a huge empire that eventually becomes a world superpower. So it completely reimagines what could have happened with the Americas and the world.
All right, cool. That's right indeed. The new empire. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. A play on history is like, all right, cool. What if this thing happened? That's right. Manifest destiny, universe. Has it not at all? Well, sounds interesting indeed. Sounds interesting indeed. And what was the inspiration behind that magical book?
Actually, it was a news article saying that they had discovered that there might be evidence that something like this had actually happened, that the Chinese had come over and potentially landed in South America, and that there was some archaeological evidence that they had stayed for several years, but they didn't, carried on. They didn't come back really. So that was where my imagination took over. But the fact that history could have been different, and everything in my book, again, I love research because it's basically just reading only under the umbrella of work. So everything in the book could potentially have happened. So the culture, the languages, everything that I throw together in this sort of big melting pot is all based in fact.
Ooh, guess I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. And I can believe it too. Like, there's so much history, like, buried out there. It's crazy where it's like, you know what? You know, this probably could be true. I could see that happening because there are people on land before it became America that it is today. And China's been around for a long time. So it's like, hey, somebody had to be curious over there. Yeah, what are the lands are out there? Let's go see what happens.
And they did. They were great explorers at a certain time. So definitely could have happened.
Heck yeah, indeed. Heck yeah, indeed. So, my goodness, so fun question for you. If your fabulous book, The New Empire, if it were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh my goodness. Well, the main character is Chinese, and so probably some sort of, I'll say a dumpling, maybe. Because on the outside, it seems like it's one note, it's a historical novel, but then there's a lot of delicious, I'll say salty, delicious, salty goodness on the inside.
There you go, dumplings. First time someone's ever said dumplings. That's right, indeed. There you go. It's a new empire, y'all. That's right. Them cookies, move them aside. We're not calling them biscuits either. We're bringing out the dumplings. That's right. That's right, indeed. It's the dumplings time now.
It's they're also substantial, so and they make a good meal.
Heck yes, right indeed. The protein you need, it's all in there too, if you so desire. That's right. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you are 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
I would probably tell myself to start earlier. I always have been writing, but I really wasn't on the publication track until, as I said, yeah, in my 30s after having a couple kids. So I sort of look back and I'm like, wow, all of that time I could have been writing instead of, well, I mean, living life. Like I wouldn't have given up any of my experiences that I went through. They help make my writing more well-rounded, I think. But yeah, I sort of wish that I had been doing this earlier. I have no regrets at all, but I would definitely tell my younger self, get off your butt. Start writing, send your stuff out. And that's good advice for any writer. If you have an idea, if you have a story, if you have a book idea, don't wait. Put it down. Get it out. Send it out, have other people read it. Don't think, oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow. You might do it tomorrow, but you might not. So get started.
Yeah, certainty, get started indeed, because you too may one day write an award-winning book that gets published. That's right indeed. Well, you have to do the hard work of pitching random publishers or getting a literary agent for them to pitch people and for them to come back with all these rejection letters, y'all. That's right indeed. Start now.
Rejection is a part, big part of the business. So you have to have a thick skin, definitely.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely right. Yep. Make sure it's thicker than a bowl of oatmeal, y'all. That's right, indeed. Oh, man. Up, I know Alice has got enough books to make folks' personal library collections thicker than a bowl of oatmeal, especially after once she gets to book number 52 and this whole process. So, for those who need to keep up with your journey and cop some copies of your magical books, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Sure. I have two websites. My personal website is alisonmcbain.com. That's for all author-related news. But for this particular journey, I have a website called Author versus AI, all spelled out. Versus is VERSUS. And that will take you to everything that I'm doing. I post videos talking about the process, and I'm going to start giving out writing tips. So, if you're thinking, how the heck can someone write a book a week? I'm going to walk you through the whole process. So, you too, if you want to join me on my journey, set a week aside and you can write a book just like I'm doing. I won't hold you to writing 52 books, but you could definitely write one.
There you go. Maybe 53 books. Maybe.
You never know. Yes, try to definitely try to beat my record. I would love that. I appreciate the competition.
Yes, I'm talking about y'all. Right, indeed. She's been writing since the age of four. She's 26 today, y'all. So 22 freaking years of writing, baby. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. All that head start. She's got tips for you. That's right, indeed. She's got more tips than mushrooms for you. And mushrooms grow like crazy. So, you know, she's got a whole freaking field of them, y'all. So keep up with Allison, all the wonderful work that she's doing because she's just getting started. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right. She's got you covered, y'all. So follow her. Good stuff awaits. Good stuff awaits. Hey. Well, any parting words before we close up shop?
Just thank you so much for having me on. It was a real pleasure to talk to you today.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep listening.